This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. Shout out to all the supporters. I've been supporting since day one. You guys are everything. Please check out my Instagram. Check out my Facebook. You already know we're talking sports all day, every day. Playoffs is crazy. But listen, before we get started, I just want to shout out to Liverpool being what is it, the most winningest franchise in Manchester United history. Listen, I'm not really into, you know, football like that, but I'm getting there. I already got the jersey. Shout out to Ian. But I'm coming. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, but that's for another topic. I just wanted to let them know that they won, and rightfully so. I didn't catch the whole game, but incredible franchise to be a part of. I'm glad I'm starting a new chapter because, as you know, when I become a fan, I'm pretty loyal. You know, even if it's blindly loyal, I'm loyal. But anyway, I thought we would switch it up today and talk about something a little bit differently, something that I hear not too many people talking about, actually. Mainly a lot of the people that you see on TV, even the people that you listen to on the radio. Because I maybe only heard this conversation one time, and I listen and read a lot of stuff. But international players, American-born players, right? Who's the best in the NBA right now? Some people would say, that's obvious. No, I don't think it is anymore. I really don't think it is. And we're not talking strictly from a talent standpoint, right? Or who we've hyped up since they were kids now, right? Because you have scouts going to see little kids play, you know, and projecting them to go, you know, in their respective drafts really high, if not number one or whatever the case may be, and they don't necessarily pan out. Now, my thing is, when you look at the top players in the NBA we're talking, they're not necessarily American-born, right? When you're thinking about the Luka Doncic of the world, you know, when you're thinking about Nikola Jokic, Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, all not from here. And I like how we had that little debate actually on Facebook, because he was born in Greece. So when people say, you know, where you're from, it's generally, you know, where you were born. He was born in Greece, Athens, Greece, more specifically, right? I can't get no more specific than that. I can't claim to know a ton about Greece, but you know, but he was born to Nigerian parents. And I get that. Some people are strictly just talking bloodline. But I guess when we're talking about, you know, where you're from, where you're born, your nationality, it's Greece. You know, but if you want to call him Nigerian Greek, I mean, I guess if that fits, you know, that makes more sense. But I just never heard him came out and said that. Because I know a lot of people that or from Nigeria, born in Nigerian. They would call them, and they lived here, or they grew up here, or even if they were born here, they refer to themselves as Nigerian-American because they have that identity. But that's another conversation for another day. But anyway, I did like that conversation being brought up because it is interesting to see what people think and see where they identify and things of that nature. And it was even brought to my attention of when I had that conversation with my own family, and they would, you know, ask me, like, you know, well, how do you identify? You know, I would honestly just say I'm Black American. You know, some people would say, no, you're African American. I mean, Africa is an entire continent. You know, what is it, like over 3,000 different, you know, languages and different cultures, and I can't identify with all of that. I can't even claim to know about it. You know what I mean? Until I get, like, really specific and understand my real roots, and that's definitely a whole nother conversation for another day, but I definitely know my origins or my ancestors are not from here. But when you're asking about my identity and who and to whom I identify with and my customs and my family values, it's all from here. It's pretty much all we know. But that wasn't, like I said, that was a really interesting conversation, and I'm glad people are willing to speak up, even though it may, you know, derive a debate, but that's the point, right? Because it gets us talking about things that we normally don't talk about. And some people who just feel uncomfortable, they just rather not talk about it. But it's important. And I don't understand genealogy that much. I get mixed up once we get past, like, grandmother. You know, that's just me. I'm not good with the with understanding all those type of things and first removed. And I don't know. But point is, it was a great conversation, and I like how it took a different turn, even though we were talking about, you know, an NBA player and where he's from and different things of that nature. But we can definitely keep that conversation going, because it would be interesting to see other people's views. And like I said, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just based off what I know from right now, you know. But obviously there's always room to grow. But to get back to it, but yeah, the draft is pretty much they draft the way it's broken down. We draft maybe about 60% of, you know, people who are born from here, and we draft about 40% of international players. Now, some people are like, really? Listen, everything is an approximate, but when you look at what we're doing, or the direction the NBA is going in, they said that they wanted to be a global league. David Stern, we've had global players that were, you know, international players that were amazing. Like, I know a lot of people forget, you know, that they were MVP with the Hakeem Olajuwons and the Steve Nashes. You know, there was a lot of players that were not necessarily born here. But, you know, obviously we tend to leave a lot of that stuff out. But my point is, where do you see the league going 5, 10, 15 years from now? You know, are we going to see a league that's pretty much no longer, you know, the stars are technically no longer from America? You know, how do you feel about that? Do you see that happening? I mean, there's a lot of debates going on right now. Just because of that one radio, I wish I can remember the exact station. But it's Sirius Radio, and they had a really good topic. And it was pretty much concerning the difference between the black players from here, born and raised in America, origins unknown, you know. But I can't say unknown, because some of them maybe know. But you get where I'm going. And international players, whether, you know, black or white, or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just international, just not born in America. And how they were not only just took this league by storm, you know, even when you think about Manu Ginobili, his impact on the league, right? The Eurostep. I know a lot of people want to say, oh, yeah, the flopping. Listen, there was a lot he brought to the game. You can't just say that. I mean, he brought six man, you know, of the year to, like, a whole nother level. This dude could have been sixth man of the year, like, every year. Definitely could have been a starter on any team, but assumed his role, right? Even when you think about Tony Parker, when he came in the league and nobody really took him seriously from France, right? So, you know, you have a guy from Argentina, you have a guy from France, and these are not just role players. You know, these are guys widely recognized. These are guys that impacted the league. And the point is, that seems to be where we're trending, right? We're not trending in a direction where international players just come over here and just to be, you know, role players. No, they're taking over the league. They're becoming MVP. They're making their mark, you know, maybe future Hall of Famers, you know. So it's no shock. But the whole thing is, what happened? What happened? You have a lot of players, you know, black players in the NBA right now have a lot of different things going on that are necessarily outside of the sports, right? They think about their name, image, and likeness well before the pros. They tend to save themselves, you know, like while in college and trying to make it. And even when they do make it, they're still, you know, trying to save themselves for the play. Like, there's always this save yourself mentality, this load management mentality, even from young. We're not even talking about even the pros and trying to make it. I'm not even trying to go there. I'm just saying, and you have guys, international players, Now, they start playing professional, I mean, at like 14, 15 years old. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's before they were an adult. It's like in their adolescence. And their training and their mind is just, their mentality is just different, right? They come from different countries, you know, not necessarily of the same status in terms of opportunities, right? And things, and, you know, definitely speaking monetarily. It's just that energy is just different, that hunger, right? It's just different. I think when Antetokounmpo came in the league, I don't think anybody really knew. Like, obviously, you see a guy's potential mainly because he has the NBA body, right? He has the height. You can't teach that type of things, right? But at the end of the day, he learned and he grew. He didn't come in, you know, the guy he is now. He had to learn and grow. And I think every year, every season, he took a little something in the offseason and said, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to get better in this, whether it's getting stronger, you know, so he could rebound more, or maybe finish through contact, or maybe he's like, I'm going to start working on my jump shot, you know, in this off season, you know. I don't want to speak too soon because I understand they have a game 7 now, but the point is, he's working at his game. He's not thinking about his name, image, and likeness. He's not thinking about saving himself. He's thinking about working hard. He knows where he was from. He understands the hustle. He understands the hunger. He understands the need. You know, it's like what Drake said, right? You know, he's sitting on top like he's scared of the drop. Like, that's the mentality I feel like the international players come in here with. You know, when you think about Nikola Jokic, and he played like 76 games this season, and even when you just look at his history of how many games he's played, and yeah, I know one could argue injuries and different things, but this is not speaking to just one different player. It's just players in general as a whole, and when you see the difference, and you're like, you know, when you think about the black players born in America, you saw that hunger years ago. You saw what it was like, you know, to really, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know, understand things have changed. I understand the mentality has changed. But at the same time, when does it start affecting the game? I think we're seeing that. Like, people are saying, and by no means am I saying that they shouldn't be, you know, talking more, caring more about outside, you know, the NBA and what, and just kind of just being open to other opportunities that are out there. No, I think that's great. I love the fact that athletes are actually taking it upon themselves nowadays, especially black athletes have taken their own, having their own podcasts like Draymond Green, and going back and forth with people who maybe he feels are not right about what they're saying on TV, and how he has his own platform to speak on that. I love that stuff. LeBron James, I watch all of their podcasts, actually, you know, just to get some insight on how they feel and what it is, because a lot of times the narrative is always saying, like, you know, the media has it messed up. They're just making up stories. That's unfortunate if they are, because, you know, at the end of the day, we just, you want to get it right. You want to make sure that you're accurate, you're quoting your sources, and if you're not, you have to be open to criticism. That's just the way it works. But at the same time, it's like, but when is it, like I said, when does it affect the game? When you look at the Kyries, right? When you look at, we can't even say LeBron James, right? Because LeBron James is a different animal. He's able to, he's a multitasker right there. You know, he's able to start a school, you know, for at-risk kids, you know, and be arguably one of the best players to ever do it. You know, he does get slack for not playing in certain games, but man, when he does play, right, he makes that impact. And we can argue semantics later, but I just mean throughout his career, when you look at how he's made himself available and helped his team win in many different ways, many different facets. But when you just look at the James Hardens, and you just look at, you know, forcing trades, and I don't know. It just really makes you think, and it makes you wonder, like, where is this league really going when it comes to, like, our top stars? Because, like I said, when you look at Luka, when you look at Nikola Jokic, you look at Embiid, you look at Antetokounmpo, those are the top players, you know, that you look at, especially with the MVP race. And, yeah, you had Booker there, you know, and other guys. But at the same time, it's like, listen, they're coming. That's all I have to say. International players are coming. They're not few and far in between. They are here. They are here, and they're ready to take over, you know. My only question is to the players here, especially the black players here, what are you going to do about it? At one point, does basketball become your priority? And not because where it can take you, but because you have the love for the game. That's really the question. It's all about your love for the game and your impact, right? I mean, James Harden at one point, I mean, his scoring ability is crazy. I mean, I didn't like how many times he got to the free throw line. I know some people would say he was cheating the game and however you want to look at it, but then I would say that's on the refs, right? His game is his game. If he found a way to manipulate it, then that just makes you a mastermind. That makes you a genius. But that's just me. But at the end of the day, it's like, I just really need to know where this league is going. When you think about who's really making an impact, who's in the playoffs, and the playoffs have been really good. Really good. Competitive. And you wonder, wait, why are the playoffs so good when Kevin Durant's not playing, LeBron James is not playing, Kyrie Irving's not playing? All the players that we, you know, or even James Harden, you know, you want to throw him into that conversation. You know, all the hype pretty much is surrounded by those guys. But meanwhile, when you look at Memphis, there's no household names on there besides Ja Morant, and that was built and that was developed right before our eyes. We saw Ja Morant, and we were like, whoa, superstar in the making. You know, averaging like 40 in the playoffs. Like, what? He wasn't doing that last year. He was making some noise. But dude is playing like he's at the top of the league right now. And those are the players that you're like, okay, Ja Morant is not worrying about, you know, all that other stuff. Like, I think, obviously, by his hard work and his development, it's just speaking for itself, right? He's not necessarily, you know, he is kind of, like, interacting with the fans more. But we like that stuff. Nobody cares about that. Like, that's a good thing. I'm talking about when you're deciding to just take games off and you're kind of just worried about what's going on the outside world. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with worrying about the outside world. Like, you know, once you're off from basketball, you're off and you have a lot of downtime, right? And you even have time, even sometimes during the season, especially if you're that great, to still be able to get things done and have an agenda. But at the same time, when you're compromising the sport, which you are, let's face it, because there's always a lot of drama surrounded by the NBA. And honestly, I remember people used to say it before, but I never really paid mind to it because they didn't really watch it like that. And I don't really like, quote unquote, outsiders, you know, critiquing it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, if you don't really like the sport to begin with, then, you know, then obviously you don't have any real, like, you know, stock in it getting better, or, you know, you're just critiquing it. But if you love the NBA and you see where it's going, and just talking about just from a fan standpoint, or just even as someone who's just been watching the game and analyzing it for a while, and you're looking to see where it's going and where it's headed, and it's like, I need to ask you guys, who's hungrier? Is it international players? Or is it black American players or African American players? It's a legitimate question. And at the same time, if you believe one is hungrier than the other, then I challenge you to ask yourself, why is that? Do you see the difference? there's always going to be outliers, right? There's always going to be that, oh, but he's playing. I'm talking about as a whole. I'm talking about as you've been watching the games. Because if the playoffs are this good, this competitive right now, imagine if you had Kyrie, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, all these guys who are healthy, obviously, with ready to go. Ben Simmons, I know, dare I mention his name, right? But at the end of the day, this is what I'm talking about. Like, if you love and you care about the sport, why wouldn't you want to see it move further, get better, more viewership? Competitive basketball is what's going to get you that. Because like I said, look at the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, I'm telling you, like, these guys will be around for a long time. They did a heck of a job. And more importantly, like I said, there was only one household name on that team. And they were hungry and they were ready, right? All different backgrounds, mind you. But my point is, collectively, as a whole, who's hungrier and why? That's my time. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Doc, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.